bringing the stories of people just like us directly into your home and learning more about them. This is Trent Speaks. Yet another week of the Trent Speaks podcast. It's always fun when I get to talk to a returning guest, someone who has been on once before. Welcome back, Isaiah.
Woo! Fake applause. Cheers, cheers. Hello, Trent.
Isaiah was on. Isaiah and I did. We were trying to determine probably about two summers ago now, or technically a summer ago. It's probably in 2018, the summer of 2018. We did a whiskey podcast together where we tasted different whiskeys, and Isaiah taught us all about whiskey and kind of that process of making whiskey. And I learned a lot and got to drink and sample quite a bit as well. Isaiah had asked me a question that a lot of people ask me, especially with him returning back to the podcast, is like, what do you want to talk about? And so I always give the same answer to anyone and everyone, saying, I don't know, whatever you want to talk about. You're the driver of the podcast, essentially. I'm just here to be the guide. As I was talking with Isaiah and kind of brainstorming, I brought up the idea of kind of talking about the world that Isaiah has experienced. And what I mean by that is it's coming from a Facebook post that he made. But before we get started, I better crack my hams here. This podcast hams. Brought to you by hams. Maybe they'll start to sponsor me and send me a case of hams if I start to announce them at the top of the podcast.
Well, or I guess I'm not drinking hams, but I'm drinking Lagavulin 16. It's a single malt Islay Scotch.
Sponsored by Lagavulin 16. Maybe we'll get some of that and I'll send it to you as well. Yeah,
send me a case.
So Isaiah, I know you had recently posted on Facebook a article by the Boston Globe. And the article was titled, Why I Don't Feel Safe Wearing a Face Mask. What you should know about Isaiah is a black man. And there was a particular quote that you took from the article and you had posted, and this is what your post read. I had the same thoughts when the recommendations came out to wear a face mask. And here's that quote. My voice of self-protection reminded me that I, a black man, cannot walk into a store with a bandana covering the greater part of my face if I also expect to walk out of that store. Isaiah, so I figured today we could kind of talk about what it's been like for you to be in a state. I know you grew up in the Milwaukee area and then kind of went outside of the Milwaukee area. And we had spent probably about 20 or 30 minutes before we actually hit record looking at maps and everything of the Milwaukee area and kind of the segregation of it. We looked at a post on Reddit where there was a map that came out from the University of Michigan that talked about Milwaukee being the most segregated city in the United States. Yeah. But then you expanded outside of Milwaukee and you can kind of touch on where you've been and everything. But what have your experiences been like living in one of the most segregated cities in the United States, as dubbed by what we were looking at earlier as a black man here in America, but then kind of going to a predominantly white state and predominantly white cities and institutions? I don't know how to throw it to you, so I'm just going to throw it to you and kind of let you take it over from here.
Certainly. So living in Milwaukee, I kind of equate it to, you can't see the forest through the trees, that kind of idiom of like when you're living in that and growing up in that area, in that type of environment, you don't know the difference of like how others live. And so that's kind of growing up like, yeah, I knew certain things happen, but I thought that was just a way of life. Because like even when you think of like grade school, we are taught things that are blatantly incorrect and the terms of society. Like I was taught that in 1492, Christopher Columbus sailed the ocean blue and ended up discovering America, and not that he was a racist piece of you know what that brought diseases and enslaved. And not only didn't discover America. That was Amerigo Vespucci, but he discovered a different type of people. And that's why kind of we refer to Native Americans as Indians, because he thought he discovered Americas when he discovered the Indies. And so kind of like that, you just grow up thinking things are normal. And so with me just being Milwaukee, like, was there racism now that I like reflect back and look at things that happened to me within my life? Yeah. Like, was I followed by police wherever I went in a store? Yeah. And like, you, me today knows that was like, wow, the incredibly racist. Me growing up, I'm like, why are they following me? Not understanding like the institutional things that are in effect that created those barriers for me growing up. I just didn't learn about them. And so from there, growing up in a very more diverse city, I move out to Texas for a couple of years to go to finish my schooling up. And it was different. And like, so you learn like the North and South. And so like, between these, everything other than the Civil War, I forgot what was it, the Northern Aggression, or like, there's some people that,
oh my gosh, now you're testing my history,
that don't really count it as like a, it was a war. It was just more of a disagreement about states' rights. And then when you try to argue with some people about what those states' right is, they don't bring up slavery, but we're not going to go down that avenue. But like between my time in undergrad in Milwaukee and then going to Texas, I kind of had that mirror, that light shined up on like, okay, I'm experiencing it a lot more because I don't look like how everyone else looks like around me. And so I remember just the stares, me walking down the street or campus, or like I'm in an interracial relationship and I met my partner down in Texas. And so even like going around with her, it's like jarring to other individuals because like that's not supposed to happen. Kind of mindset. And so, but then I moved back to Wisconsin and more northern, I would like, than anything. And so more isolating and more like less diversity. And so like kind of within like those three pockets of areas, I've experienced a lot different type of lifestyles that kind of still impacted me on the racial barrier.
You know, you just talked about impact, and that was one of the, very often I start to kind of write down questions and write down things that I'm catching within the conversation. And actually that was one of my questions, is what impact has this had on you? You know, you kind of talked about those barriers of, you know, as I reflect back on my time in Milwaukee with cops following me in the store and yeah, some of the stuff that I experienced. What impact has that had on you and your experiences?
There's so many things I can draw up upon. Okay, so there was I have since moved out of the state of Wisconsin, but I think this was right before I was leaving and I was visiting friends in Milwaukee. I got pulled over. It was the first time I got pulled over in a long time. And the first thing I did was I gathered my license, registration, proof of insurance, put it on the dashboard. I took a Snapchat. I sent it to all my friends. And just like, oh no. and so like, I think a younger version of me would have been like, oh no, I've got pulled over. And like, no, it's like, here's a proof of life and here's everything that's happening right now. And I want you to know where I am in case I don't make it out of it. And I think that's kind of been more prevalent in the last like 5-10 years with everything that's happened in society. Like a younger Isaiah would have never done that, but it's more of a don't give them an excuse. And like I'm even growing up, interacting with a police officer, it's always yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am type thing. Always be respectful. Don't give anyone a reason to do anything. And so that's kind of like with the license and registry, like put everything on the dashboard, grip the steering wheel, I turn the lights in the car on. So there's no reason to provide to that officer that I mistakenly saw something. And like, that's kind of not my mentality, but it's kind of what I've been trained and learned to adapt to today's society. And is it right? No. But at the end of the day, do I want to leave that situation with my life? Yes. And so you got to do what you got to do in order to, for self-preservation.
And you just answer my question on how you've adapted. I'm sure you've seen, so I feel like there's words here and I'm trying to put them together. I feel like this is a topic that's very taboo. So I was very thankful and I appreciate you being willing to kind of talk about this stuff and share this on the podcast, because agree, disagree, this is a topic that's not talked about. This is a topic that people ignore, that we know is happening, but we're too afraid to ask the question or too afraid to kind of find out what people's experiences are, because we're afraid of what the answers might be and how we work to change those.
Yeah. That reminds me of when I was doing a training and I had to try to, I forgot what brought it up, but I was teaching people like having like cross-cultural communication and whatnot, and how we typically avoid certain conversations. It's the acronym is GRAPES. And so in America, we don't talk about guns, religion, let's see, abortions, P is politics, E is economy, and S is sexuality. And I think those are the five conversations that either people disagree the most, or like you said, they're taboo, because like even when you go around a dinner table, you're saying, no, don't talk about politics, don't talk about religion, because it's something that everyone is not going to agree with. And it's the whole thing of like, we've all had we've all had different ways of learning how society works and operates, and it's our truths, because that's how we've grown up seeing it. Going back to student affairs, I think it's, is it Kohlberg or Perry's, it's a moral and ethical moral and ethical like development, like challenging what you've grown up with, and how does that how learning about everything else impact how you are going to perceive everything else in your future.
Is that what you think scares people about talking about this kind of stuff? Because you kind of just alluded to it a little bit, but that's a way that we learn from each other, is that we have these conversations and we learn about people's different experiences and what's happened. What do you think is it that scares people about talking about, whether it's GRAPES or anything else?
I think it's a matter of self-preservation, and like whether it's a preservation of that relationship, like, you know, you're not going to agree on something, and you might like, if it's out of sight, out of mind type of mentality, like if I don't know it exists, then we don't have to have an argument about it. And I think that's kind of what I really want to know, like say why I read that article, where I learned GRAPES.
But it was kind of, if you want to,
a way just of learning how society operates. That's why we've learned things the way we've did, because how I grew up in Milwaukee is how you different from how you grew up in Michigan. And then whatever things have impacted our lives along the way have changed how we view society. Granted, going to grad school, learning about things, we've kind of been able to talk about like different difficult subjects, and just in the course of our works that we're always impacted by, like, oh, suicidal ideation and sexual assaults and stuff. And so it's made conversing easier. But like when you have to like get down to things that are below surface level, it's hard, because you have to have a sense of vulnerability. Like these are my truths. This is what I believe. And what happens if another person attacks that? Like, can we still be cordial? Can we still have a conversation about, like, well, why do you believe that? And like, in the course of our work, it's a lot easier for me to talk to a student about that because I know they're still in their developmental stage. But if you're talking to like an adult, not an adult, that's, but like a boomer or someone who is set in their ways of like, this is how I live my life. You're not going to change it. So I might as well just not talk about it. That's kind of what I meant by like that.
Well, and earlier you talked about how you gave the example about being pulled over in Milwaukee and like young Isaiah versus current Isaiah.
Yeah.
Was there a turning point for you in your comfortability to talk about this stuff? Like, is this something you always would have been open and willing to talk about? Or was there some sort of turning point that you were like, you know, I want to start to talk about this more. I want to educate people more on A, B, or C.
I can't say there's a turning point. Like there was, or I can't like put my finger down on like one instant of like, aha. But I think it's more of, I'd probably say like education, like just schooling and like probably grad school if I had to really put a finger on it. But I think that's because I've reached a point in my life where I just kept seeing how society was not changing, but how the veil of the good old American dream was disapparating and like, oh, this is America. Like we have to like it for the good and the bad. And so like, I think one of the things as a, just an example, as a kid, I would always refer to myself as an, and I don't know why, there was a point in my life where I would refer to myself not as Black or African American, but an American of African descent. And so like, I think I viewed myself as seeing like that if I'm African American, that makes me a second class citizen. But like, I was born in America. I was not born in Africa. Like, so why does African have to be first? And then like same thing, my perception of like every other race. And I think it really hit home on the, with the, what's her name? Toni Morrison, she had a quote of American means white, everyone else has to hyphenate. And so kind of that is just like, yeah, like I've never heard someone say they're an European American or they're white. There's like, no, I'm American, but then I'm African American, they're Asian American, and so on and so forth. And so I think kind of with that, and then with my education, first gen, all that, I kind of developed like just a responsibility of like, if I'm going to be in these spaces, not only do I have to take up room, but I also have to educate other people. Kind of like at one of my previous jobs where I was the only person of color in the department. And so like, how does that impact how students of color or of not the majority, like look to me, they come to me and ask me questions about like how things are going. But then I also have to represent the department, but at the same time, like there's that not combativeness, but like, hey, like this is how I feel about this policy. And this is how probably it's going to look from people of not your identity. And so I think that all of that together kind of shaped this new and improved Isaiah of like wanting to like have conversations with people like, and not necessarily educate because I can't speak on behalf of all African Americans or Black identifying individuals, but I can talk about how I experienced the world and how my upbringing was and how this big blue marble that sits in the middle of nowhere, if you believe it's flat, good for you. but how it's treated me for the last 20 something years.
Well, and you, so maybe my next question is a little irrelevant, but because you had just mentioned, you know, you're like, well, I can't speak for everyone. But in your opinion, what is the politically correct term? You know, I had mentioned at the top of the podcast, I said, Isaiah is Black. Was that wrong for me to say Isaiah's black, or is it an individual thing? Like, do people prefer one over the other? I think for me personally, I typically say African American, but I think given the relationship that we have, I felt comfortable saying Isaiah is a black man. But I guess I don't know. Is there a wrong way or a way that is offensive that people don't realize?
I mean, there's multitude of offenses.
Well, yeah, I guess other than the obvious ones.
Other than the obvious, but like, I know I've been called colored before, and I'm like, that's a huge no-no. Like, right. I'm a person of color. There's the whole generational thing that I like learned from like my grandparents, like who grew up in the civil rights era, and like how they were treated, and like since they helped raise me, like I have that framework going on with my life. But black and African American are black and African American are the standard universal thing. I think if even on most applications and governmental documents, I think there's probably some offensive terms on there too, but I think that's where most people self-identify as.
So it makes me think of an episode of Survivor that I watched last night. I've been rewatching the seasons of Survivor through the CBS All Access app. And there was a gentleman on there who was talking to an African-American woman that had come on their tribe for the day, just to kind of observe and everything. And he called her ghetto trash. And then at tribal council, he had mentioned two tribal councils later when one of his tribe members had brought up, you know, that as a black man myself, like I am very offended by that. And that's not something you should be calling someone. And he tried to defend it, saying, well, she said that she's from Detroit and that she's from the ghetto. So I was saying she's from the ghetto and I think that she is trash. So I was just saying the way that she's identifiable. And in my head, I was like, that also makes zero sense. I was with this gentleman who was like, what you're saying is so stupid. Have you heard some of that stuff where people think they're right in what they're saying, but they're completely being offensive or completely have no cares in the world about what they're doing, their impact they're having?
Oh, definitely. Like whether it comes from a place of ignorance or just like not caring, kind of like you said, because we've had a lot of stuff in our vernacular that has like changed, but like ghetto, I think was originally a Jewish community. And then I think now it means just an impoverished neighborhood or like an undesirable area, kind of in the popular sense. But then like we have ratchet that grew up when I was, or that term blew up when I want to say high school, early college years.
I remember that.
And so like, I see why people take offense because like you're essentially been demeaning and belittling someone. It's one thing if I myself admit something, but if someone else were to put a label on me, then that's different, or at least I perceive that as different.
And while we're on the subject, it just made me think of, we attended a training, a diversity training at UW Oshkosh. This would have been 2-ish years ago, year and a half ago now. And I remember the gentleman who gave the presentation. I'm wondering if as I start talking about this, if you'll remember.
I remember it.
The conversation about the N-word came up, and how it's very much a thing where some African Americans choose to use and say that word. But it's a whole nother meaning when it comes from someone who's not African American. I guess, talk to me about ways that I don't know how I want to word this without sounding weird, but I guess like talk to me about ways that you've seen that used through your either friends or is it, well, I guess I, where does the word come from? I guess is really what I'm trying to find out is what, okay. In what situation do people use that and why do they use it?
So, God, we have an entomology, not entomology. What's the linguistic?
I know that was like a really, I know it was like a really like weird track to my question, but I was trying to figure out the best way to say it.
I know what you're going for. So growing up, identifying as Black, being in majority Black spaces, but also being in a lot of white spaces, like I went to an arts high school and I like a lot of my education was surrounded by a lot of white individuals. And so your question has multi layers and I don't know if we have enough time on your podcast just to talk about
this. I've got at least another hour.
But, I think we all know there was a period of the United States starting from 1619 to 1865, continuing to the 1960s with the Civil Rights era, that it was whites and Blacks. And so, there was a period of time where I wasn't viewed as human. I was three fifths. And so like, how does, like that word generated from a point to put people down and describe. And granted.
So was it used by like slave owners and stuff?
Yeah. And so, okay. When you look at different languages for the term Black, like Spanish is negro. I think French, yeah. It's something of the same. God, I wish I knew my entomology a lot better. But N-E-G-R is kind of like that base frame for Black. And that kind of, when you think of the English language being taken from everything, that's when we... Nigger meant or Black or people who were not white.
Okay.
Excuse me. And then kind of over time, just like how everyone reclaims things from their own. So like how queer used to be a very offensive term, but now it's kind of going back to the zeitgeist of like ownership of like, yes, I'm a queer individual, or like even when we do LGBTQ, it's in there. But there was a period of history, and I unfortunately do not know this because, like, granted, I'm not a person who really uses the term nigga. But there was a period of time where the word was being reclaimed, and then people started to self-identify that with their peers of the same background, and it was kind of grew up like that. Now, the issue is when someone who is not in that group uses that term, like thinking, oh, it's... they say it in the lyrics and I'm just singing it. You don't know the history of that word, how it impacts people. Cause I get when I see and hear individuals not of African American descent or like the, it is not, I hate saying triggering, but like there's a small anger that just spikes of like, okay, what did you say?
Right, almost like it just catches you off guard.
And then, like, it's a like cooling period. Like, okay, say it, don't go off. And that's kind of like I walk a lonely road. No, I walk balancing between the life of an educator and life being Black. And so, like, I still get heated when in racial tensions. I try my best to stay like. As an educator trying to approach people across the aisle of like, okay, what did you say? Okay, we're going to talk about why that's wrong and why you should never say it again. Is that my responsibility? No. But like, if someone's not going to be willing to help, then this person who keeps going down is going to meet the wrong person. so I'm offering it out as like, I'm going to help you this one time. And if you continue to do that, you're on your own. But that's kind of how that word is it's, if you're in the group, you use it. If not, stay away from it. Like I know there's different areas in the world, like, and plus the term of getting an N-word pass and all of that, of just like, okay, just because your friends let you say it around them doesn't mean you can say it around everyone else.
You don't want to say it. You had mentioned it. You don't want to say it in front of the wrong person.
Yeah. And so like, that's how you're going to get popped.
Why say it at all?
Yeah. And so I don't say it. And I think it impacts me because like I knew what my grandparents had to do. Like my grandfather was from Memphis. My grandmother's from Mississippi, I think Mount Bayou. And so like they were born in the South. I don't think my grandmother had to deal with as much racism back then growing up in the South in the 30s and 40s. But I remember my grandfather telling me stories like not being able to go to certain places, having to go through the back door, getting water hosed, being talked down and spit on. And so I think that's kind of like when I hear that term, I see almost viewed as it attacking a person just for being who they are, at least when it comes from a person who does not identify as an African-American or Black individual.
With privilege, I feel like privilege is something that we often hear a lot about, especially in trainings and everything. I feel like predominantly the one most talked about is white privilege. I did an exercise with my staff that I supervised on biological privilege. So privilege that during our conversation, a lot of them, even myself included, had said, you know, it's not a privilege I've ever thought of or ever would think about. So I guess my question is, what experiences have you had that other people take it for granted? What have you noticed that people don't realize that they have, but they don't know they have it because they haven't missed out on something or been followed by the police or things like that?
I think the first thing that popped to my head is, so I took a trip to New York when I was in high school. It was high school. And we did the stereotypical stuff in New York at the time. We visited the Ground Zero area. We went to the Empire State Building, but we also went to the Statue of Liberty in Ellis Island. And there's a, they keep records of everyone who entered through the port of Ellis Island, and all my peers were able to find members of their family or like, oh, I can trace myself coming back into the States and like where we came from. And I don't have that luxury. I know that where my, I don't want to say lineage, but where my line, the earliest I can track it is coming in Mount Bayou, Mississippi by a slave owner who went by, what was his name? It was Staples. I think it was W.C. Staples. And he was, that's, I don't know who he was. I don't know where he bought my ancestors from. I don't know where my ancestors came from. And without taking like a DNA or ancestry or 23andMe or whatever test you have nowadays, I can't, the only point I can track my lineage to is when the earliest slave in my family, which is I think 3 or 4 generations back, came into the States. Or not came, was stolen from their land and arrived here. So yeah, that's kind of one of the things that I think kind of people take for granted is like being able to like do the whole family tree and like trace their lineage and like, well, it must be nice because my lineage, at least to my knowledge, just starts in the mid 1800s.
Well, and I think even kind of where here comes the full circle, where the idea to have this conversation today came from. You had posted that about not being able to walk into a store wearing a mask as recommended by the CDC because of your skin color. And people have not had to worry about things necessarily. If they're predominantly white, they haven't had to worry about getting pulled over by the police and what repercussions have been, or being followed, or going outside. And that's just The stuff that kind of strikes me. And I'm like, you know, it's stuff that we live day to day, and everyone lives their own day to day, but we had mentioned a couple of times, everyone has those different experiences and things that they would never think about for other people.
Yeah. Like I don't want to say the funny thing about that article. So I think maybe a day or two before, like I was cleaning my apartment, I found a handkerchief. And so like I saw like on the, like there's so many things on social media about like creating your own mask. And there was one that talked about making your own. And so like I made one, I put it on, I went outside to Snapchatted my peers. And then I looked at the phone like, holy shit. Sorry for swearing. Like, I just saw how the outside world viewed me wearing that. And that's kind of what, like, cause I'm not going to lie, I don't think of racial tensions all day, every day. There's things that I think about more about my identities than others get at any given point. But when I saw that picture, I'm like, if I walked into a store right now, I don't know if I'd walk out. And that's like, we hear all these things from like, a black kid getting shot in Ohio for having a toy gun, people going into Walmart, buying a BB gun or whatnot and getting shot in the store. However, a white individual can carry an AK automatic AR-15 and walk down and parade down the street without anyone blinking an eye. I saw that in that photo and I'm like, I can't wear this. And it was just so happened, like a couple of days later, I saw that article. I'm like, yeah, that's why. Like, I couldn't necessarily articulate why I couldn't wear it, but it was more like, if I walked into a store wearing this, I can't be certain that other individuals won't be frightened by my appearance.
Isaiah, do you think that there are opportunities, and this is, of course, just say, like, very opinion-based question. But do you think there's opportunities that you've missed out on or that you have potentially received because of your race? Do you think, unbiasedly?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's things that I've chosen to participate or not participate in because of my racial identity. Do I think I've gotten advantage over others because, oh, I'm a black candidate and we need to ripen up the diversity numbers in our area? I probably have gotten a favor too. I like to think like, well, you might have hired me for that, but then you see my experiences and my knowledge and know you made a good choice for other reasons. But I think a lot of it is just, we do what makes us comfortable. At least for like what I choose to participate and not participate in, because like you never know if one gun happy person or someone calls the cops because you're just trying to barbecue and grill in the park. And so there's a lot, like I by no means am afraid to live my life, but I make sure like I don't take additional risk than necessary, or I like analyze like costs, risk, benefits of doing something. Like there's last year when I was invited to go out camping, I was like, no, like there's, I take no pleasure in being outside. Like there's, between the bugs and every scary movie I've ever seen, I'm like, you know what? I'm good.
I got chastised for it. I remember you saying a black man in the woods never ends well.
Well, no. Like, have you seen every scary movie? I think I can only count like three where the black guy does not die first. Then I'm like, you know what? Nope. I'm good with my running water and my AC. And
Isaiah, overall, is there a stigma? Is there a stigma that is associated with, and it's not, I'm not just saying African Americans, but is there a stigma associated with different races, do you think? And if so, how do you break that stigma?
Oh, I mean, you are trying to unroot centuries of oppression. And it's not like there's a stigma. I think it's ignorance tied into institutional learning, tied into just like how people want to be. Because like when you think of just marketing and movies and like mass media, I don't know how often you pay attention, but every time I go out to a movie or I watch something on TV, I automatically try to like, are there any people of color in this? Mainly first, I look, are there any black individuals in this like show, commercial, advertisement, movie? And if there is, what role are they portraying? Like, am I, for a movie, are blacks only portraying gangsters, murderers, robbers, like dim-witted individuals? Or are they like front and center and like they have dialogue that's meaningful and that drives the plot of the movie? Same with advertisements. Like most advertisements I see on TV are, probably say, are all white individuals. You get like your drops of multi-ethnic and diversity things every now and then, but I know that the world wasn't, not the world, society in America wasn't invented or caters around people who look like me. And so when you're trying to, I don't want to say program, that sounds too student affairs-y, but when you're trying to go for the majority, because like when at the end of the day, am I going to need that product that they might be selling? Maybe. Am I going to use that particular one? I don't know. But like if it's like Kleenex, like of course I'm going to need tissue every now and then. But like is someone going to really change their mind about a brand just because of like the person's not a person of color? Probably not. But I think between growing up as a kid like that, and never seeing anyone that looks like I'm transitioning more to movies, seeing yourself always portrayed as like a gangster or a rapper or not. I don't want to say that those aren't positive. Like I'm not trying to mean anything what people like, but I think it was a long time growing up before I saw like a really impactful movie that wasn't about a historian or a historical figure. Like, because Malcolm X was a good movie. Like, Our Friend Martin animated cartoon, like, taught me about the history of being black. But, like, there wasn't any, like, movie other than, I'm trying to think, God, why I bring this topic up? I blink on every movie I've ever seen. Black Panther, for instance. It is a all on black ensemble. Like, the only white person in that movie, you'd say, is... not Martin Short. What's his name? I need to look it up because I'm just gonna ramble. There's two because there's also the guy Andy Serkis. I want to say his name's Martin. Martin Freeman. See, I was part right. I couldn't imagine if I was a kid and I saw that movie and like, wow, there's people like black people can be superheroes. Like black people can be smart. Like Suri's probably one of the, like people are going to laugh at me. I think Black Panther is probably the most feminist movie in the entire Marvel series. And that's counting Captain Marvel. because you see women doing all sorts of things, like they're scientists in this movie, they're warriors. And I think, and like, I don't want to like S talk Captain Marvel, but it's essentially Top Gun, just with female leads. but like, I couldn't imagine having that type of movie growing up as a kid and like being inspired and like hell. And I went to see it. I cried watching that movie because I'm just like, wow, like this is powerful and impactful of my life. Like I could relate to the characters. I know I'm rambling at this point, but yeah. So going back, like the stigma, like there will never, I don't want to say there will never, but I don't know if in my lifetime we will ever get over that barrier where it's like us versus them, the black versus white, because it's so deeply enrooted in our history and our culture. Like people said, like, oh, we elected Obama. We're not racist anymore, right? I'm like, No, I mean, like, Obama didn't win, like, the first election, but, like, just because we finally got one person doesn't change, what, 400 years that we've gone through. And so, like, we've, yeah, so I'm getting choked up a bit. We've come so far, but we got a far place to go. And like, I don't know if we're going to get there anytime soon.
So this is going to deviate completely from our entire conversation, but you brought up Marvel, and I know you're a big Marvel fan. How did you get into the Marvel series?
Once again, Black Power. No. So I think part of like Saturday morning cartoons or whatnot, growing up on like Cartoon Network, WB Kids, and all of that jazz. Justice League was on, like the animated series. I forget when that came out. But prior to that show, all I saw black people in were comedic roles. Either that or Roots, which isn't very comedic. It's very, very heavy. But Jon Stewart was the first black character I saw that was making a positive impact in their community. And like was the first like thing that I'm like, oh, they're not a gangbanger. They're not a rapper. They're not like, granted, I love Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. I love Martin. I love like Family Matters and all those. Like those taught me heart. But like there wasn't anything that was like, you can be this person that's respected like by Superman and all of that. And so I think that's kind of what was my introduction into superheroes. And like I'm more of a DC person than Marvel, just Marvel has better movies. DC's tried. But that's kind of what got me into superheroes and just like the whole nerdy culture, or I guess it's more of geeky culture that is comics and whatnot.
Favorite and least favorite out of the series?
Out of which ones?
out of the entire Marvel series.
My least favorite. You know, it is a tie between, for at least least favorite, Thor 2 Dark World and Hulk. I say that because have you tried watching those movies and just like not fall asleep?
Yeah, the second one was pretty bad, but I would also have to say Doctor Strange. I could not follow Doctor Strange.
I think Doctor Strange was different. It was more of like a culmination of just like, here's what we can do with special effects, and like, here's a different character that doesn't end up having a, like when you look at, if you watch all Marvel movies back to back, which I know you did because when you got Disney Plus, when the bad guy in the third act is basically creating this hole in the sky that just starts downpouring CGI characters, like it's a very like laughable trope now because so many movies do that. I think what made Doctor Strange great was it was focused around one of the Infinity Stones or gems, depending on what you like to refer to them as, and it made it very much part of the plot, but also giving you a different take on the world we are in the Marvel Universe. I don't like Hulk because it's supposed to be Hulk, but you spend most of the time with this guy trying not to rage. And a lot of that was Edward Norton trying to like be Edward Norton, get screen time. And then Thor 2 is just so bad. It is so dull. Like, it's just really hard to put into words where, like...
Ragnarok was good.
Well, Ragnarok was good, but you see the drastic change that they went from Thor to before they got to Ragnarok. Like, they made him funny. They, like, besides cutting his hair, like, they made him interesting as a character versus a mopey god, which I'm Thor, son of Odinson. I'm not going to do my first Sam or Thor impression. As for best, it is really hard. Like I'm probably gonna say Black Panther, but
I figured
Black Panther's not I would say great in itself. Like it's kind of Lion King. It's, well, no, it's not Lion King.
I remember you said that when you and I talked about it. You're like, it's basically almost Lion King.
It's Macbeth, like, right? Like, granted, there's no such thing as an original story, but like, it's more about like kind of self-identifying with those characters. When upon rewatching, I'm like, yeah, there are powerful moments in that movie, but there's also some things that just didn't make sense. I'm like, you know, if you just accepted Eric Killmonger into the tribe and just like, I'm sorry for what my father did, but let me make it up and we can rule this together versus trying to hide everything and just like, no, kick him out. Like, granted, the back end of the movie doesn't happen, but I'm just like, there's just like little beats of like, not plot holes, but like
superhero pieces
aren't always infallible.
Yeah.
I didn't really get into, like, I watched Iron Man, the first one, of course, but, like, everyone points to that as, like, really their favorite because it started off, but it was kind of a basic movie. When you, like, when you look at, like, the 23 films that right. came after it, but, yeah, there's just so much to choose for, and it just depends on what you're tasting.
Isaiah, so as we wrap up here, the last question I have for you, what is it that you want people to take away from this podcast? Whether it's something that you shared today or something you didn't share, what is it that you want the listeners to remember to know?
Final thoughts and all of that, Chaz. I think communication is probably one of the most important things, and like not everyone's going to be wanting to share their story, and not everyone's going to like, it's going to take some time to build up that relationship enough for people to open up. But I think it's trying to, my final thought would be try to find other people's truths and just open up dialogue. Cause at the end of the day, that's what's going to help us get to that way down the line foreseeable future where we don't necessarily have to be an us versus them, a black versus white, and always have to have this type of conversation of why we can't have those conversations.
Isaiah, I mentioned it earlier, but seriously, thank you so much for coming back on the podcast and sharing your story, and kind of what life has been like for you and for being able to have these conversations that, as we mentioned, are sometimes taboo, but being able to really open up about that, I appreciate it.
No problem. We look forward to seeing you again.
Third time's a charm. Isaiah, go ahead and sign us off for this week.
Well, thank you for listening to Trent Speaks on whatever network we're airing on.
This is super.
Tune in next week when we have insert guest here, and we'll make sure to check in next week. Thank you all. This is Dr. Fraser Crane from KACL signing to you. Good night, Seattle.